Ever have those moments where it feels like the universe just lines up perfectly for it?
Absolutely. Like everything just clicks into place.
Yeah, where, you know, seemingly random skills or experiences suddenly come together and poof, an unexpected door opens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It often feels like luck, but maybe it's something else too.
Well, that's exactly the kind of uncanny alignment we're exploring today. Mm-hmm. We're diving into the really fascinating journey of Ed Reif.
It's quite a story. Looking back, you can almost see a kind of hidden logic in the twists and turns his life took.
Exactly. And we've got some great material here. Ed's own stories, his thoughts on life philosophy, some behind-the-scenes stuff from, well, both the maritime world and the entertainment industry.
A unique combination, for sure.
So our mission today in this deep dive is really to try and understand how Ed Reif, through this mix of solid preparation and a certain mindset.
Being present, maybe.
Yeah, being present, being prepared. How he seemed to consistently find himself, you know, in the right place at the right time.
From sailing ships to acting in Lost and a Hollywood movie, it's quite the range.
It really is. Okay, let's unpack this. Where should we start? Maybe his seafaring days.
Yeah, let's start there. His time at the Harry Lundeberg School of Seamanship. What strikes me right away is how proactive he was. Very specific skills.
Absolutely. This wasn't just like a casual interest. He really dove in, got that SETW 95 certification.
Standard of training certification in watchkeeping. That's serious.
Right. And it led to his U.S. Coast Guard Merchant Mariner Z card. That shows real commitment, you know, getting tangible skills in a pretty demanding field.
And the courses themselves, basic firefighting, first aid, CPR, personal safety, survival training. These are intense.
He wasn't messing around. It suggests he was preparing for, well, potentially critical situations at sea.
Definitely. He even mentions feeling like mission accomplished after the firefighting course, which included tackling different kinds of fires.
You see that drive, right? To not just learn, but to master it. For you listening, I think a key thing here is how investing in those foundational skills,
even if you don't know exactly where they'll lead.
Precisely. They could open up pathways you never expected. And then, after all this intense prep, he's cruising the Hawaiian Islands.
Yeah, and experiencing aloha time.
Talk about a contrast from strict maritime protocols to this more fluid, patient rhythm where things happen when they're ready.
It really shows adaptability, doesn't it? Thriving in discipline, but also understanding flow.
Yeah, learning to be prepared, but also learning to just be present.
Yeah.
Which kind of sets the stage for the next big turn.
The Hollywood shift. Unexpected, right?
Totally. He moves from Maui to Oahu, and for a while he's actually living out of his car. Not exactly the glamorous Hollywood entry most people imagine.
No, but it shows that willingness to, you know, embrace uncertainty, to follow a path even without a clear map.
So he sends out his headshot, takes a chance.
And then, boom, a call from Hawaii Film Studios. But not quite how he might have pictured it.
Right. The funny part is, they didn't cast him as the lead because he looked too much like the main actor.
Almost typecast by resemblance. Wild.
But instead of hitting a wall, it turned into something else. An opportunity.
Stunt double work. On a little show called Lost.
Yeah. Just a small, unknown series. No, a massive hit. He was Terry O'Quinn's stunt and photo double.
And that's a great example, isn't it? Being open to things that aren't exactly your initial plan. He didn't say, no, I want to act. He took the gig.
He leveraged his physical abilities, found a way in, which connects to his philosophy, this idea of being there and following your bliss.
Mm-hmm. He brings up Huna.
Yeah, the Hawaiian philosophy, tapping into that life force, chi, whatever you want to call it.
It suggests the sort of receptiveness, doesn't it, to the energy around him, maybe a belief in a certain flow.
And it wasn't just acting. He talks about getting teaching contracts, too,
yeah.
Seemingly out of the blue. More examples of opportunities just appearing.
And his advice for his students, it really sums it up. Follow your bliss.
Echoing Joseph Campbell. Campbell's whole idea about the hidden hands guiding you when you pursue what genuinely calls to you.
Doors opening where you didn't even see walls before.
It really makes you think, doesn't it? For you listening, how does pursuing what you're truly passionate about maybe make you more available for those unexpected chances?
It feels like more than just luck when he moves back to L.A. after Lost. He's actually thinking about driving trucks, something stable.
But then he sees that yellow sign, a film sign.
And crucially, he knows what it means. Last-minute background work. He'd done this before, seeking out these speculating gigs.
He had a method. he knew how to find these chutes. It wasn't pure chance he was there.
And getting those union vouchers, what was it, 4 out of 7 times just by showing up?
Yeah, it really hammers home that point about just being available, putting yourself physically in the place where opportunity might strike.
Woody Allen's quote, right? 80% of success is showing up.
Something like that. And then the chance meeting with Steve, the assistant director.
Who remembered him from a previous connection. Shows how networking, even brief encounters, can pay off later.
Absolutely. And that connection leads directly to the Richard Elfman film, Modern Vampires, originally called The Revenant, I think.
Right, with Casper Van Dien, Natasha Gregson-Wagner, Kim Cattrall.
And he goes from just being background, a union extra, to getting an actual speaking part, a day player contract, all from an on-set audition.
Even the AD called him a lucky dog. It was clearly unusual.
And that's where the Taft-Hartley Act comes in. That U.S. labor law letting you join the union after getting a union job, basically.
But again, opportunity met preparation. He still had to deliver in that impromptu audition.
And he gets this small but pretty memorable speaking role. What was the line?
I'm an attorney. You'll never get away with this.
Right.
Right before his character meets a sticky end.
Classic. And even in that moment, that whirlwind of getting the part, he's still learning. Picking up tips from the sound guy about whispering for projection.
And in getting notes from the director about his New York accent. Always absorbing, always adapting.
Yeah, constantly open. And then there's the practical side. Getting Taft-Hartley, it meant he had to pay union dues. Big dues.
Right, suddenly needing to come up with the initiation fee.
And his plan. Potentially selling his Super Bowl ticket. It just shows his incredible resourcefulness, connecting completely unrelated parts of his life to solve a problem.
It wasn't just about the lucky breaks falling into his lap. It was how he handled them, how he navigated everything.
So looking at Ed Reif's whole journey, it really seems like it's not just chance. There's this underlying current of intention.
That moment under the Waikiki banyan tree he mentions, committing to go for it.
Exactly, that conscious decision. Combined with this readiness, being prepared from his seafaring days, being open.
And his understanding of aloha. It's not just hello, goodbye.
Right, it's that deeper philosophy, being present, love, peace, compassion. It seems like that informed how he interacted with people, how he approached things.
Maybe it made him more receptive to those positive connections, those opportunities. Like his later work as a cruise director, where he consciously brought in that Hawaiian spirit, the Huna principles.
He wasn't just playing a role.
Mm-hmm.
He was living his philosophy. Being the hero of his own life, following his own hero's journey, as he puts it.
It really ties it all together. The preparation, the mindset, the action.
So ultimately, Ed Reif's story is just this really compelling look at how a solid foundation of preparation,
combined with that intentional, open approach to life,
can lead to this series of remarkable, almost serendipitous moments. It wasn't just luck. It was prepared luck, maybe.
Activated potential, perhaps.
Mm.
So for you listening, how does Ed Reif's story resonate? Can you look back and see times when your preparation unexpectedly opened a door?
Or maybe think about it going forward. Where in your life right now could applying that focused preparation combined with being open and intentional? Where might that unlock your own right place at the right time moments?
It's definitely something to reflect on, the real power of being present and setting your intention.